with Indira Naidu on ABC Radio.
How you doing? Thanks for staying with me on Nightlife. Well, it's time to check in with another part of the world. We think things are pretty bad here in Australia, with many parts of the country in and out of lockdown as the Delta variant wreaks havoc. We'll spare a thought for Brazilians. Their far-right president, Jair Bolsonaro, is facing growing discontent. His approval rating is at a record low. His popularity has plummeted over his handling of the coronavirus pandemic, as he has played down the gravity of the situation despite the deaths of 550,000 Brazilians. Now, thousands of Brazilians have taken to the streets repeatedly in the past couple of months, and now a scandal has emerged regarding apparent corruption in the procurement of 20 million doses of the Covaxin vaccine. His domestic woes come as many world leaders, including new US President Joe Biden, are expressing concern about Brazil's environmental policies that have seen devastation of the Amazon rainforest. So for tonight's International Cross, we're being joined by Sarah Maslin. She's The Economist's Sao Paulo Bureau Chief. Sarah, thank you for chatting to Nightlife.
Hi, it's really great to be here.
Now, we'll get to the vaccine purchasing scandal in a moment, Sarah, but the past few months have seen increasing numbers of protests. Tell us about the reasons so many people have been pushed to go out on the streets and protest.
Well, it's interesting because for much of the pandemic, the streets here were really dominated by Bolsonaro's supporters. There were big car honking parades and rallies to protest the lockdowns. But recently there has been a kind of a shift. So three or four times over the past couple of months, Brazilians in hundreds of cities have gone out now to protest Bolsonaro's handling of the pandemic. And I think what's behind it is this kind of growing anger about the fact that while the rest of the world is starting to see a kind of light at the end of the tunnel, Brazil is still struggling with vaccine shortages, unemployment that's stuck at nearly 15%. And whereas last year the government gave out generous monthly aid to poor people and Bolsonaro was able to say, look, we're really, you know, doing the best we can. This year it has come out in a Senate investigation that he spent months refusing or ignoring offers to buy vaccines, even spreading fake news that they might be unsafe. And so when Brazil had this really horrific second wave with 3,000 people dying a day in April, Brazil really lost far more people than it needed to if it had done the responsible thing and got those vaccines early.
Mm. So people have taken to the streets. Have those protests turned violent? How are the governments containing them?
No, they haven't turned violent. I mean, at the end of the day, when things get dark, you know, there have been kind of clashes, but so far, you know, nothing too serious. I mean, I guess the question now is sort of whether this protest movement picks up momentum or not. There's some fear now because of this new variant, so people may be more reluctant to go into the streets. But so far, it's really kind of the combination of the protests and then a sort of sinking approval rating that has the government worried about this election coming up in 2022.
Mm. And with that election coming up and the discontent on the streets, what are the polls showing at the moment, Sarah?
So Bolsonaro's approval has been steadily sinking. It's now below 30%. And pollsters are really having a heyday. There are polls already asking people who they would vote for. And Bolsonaro is now lagging behind former left-wing president Lula. But it's really far too early to tell. A lot can change. The economy is bound to improve. And Bolsonaro is now sort of trying to whip up a social spending to win back some of the support he's lost.
And Bolsonaro is using a similar line that we heard during the US election from Trump, that there could be a potential of election fraud. Why is he saying this, Sarah?
That's right. So Bolsonaro has this kind of grab bag of conspiracy theories that he whips out from time to time. And one of them is the idea that Brazil's electronic voting system is easy to manipulate and has been manipulated in the past. He claimed that if it weren't for fraud in 2018, he would have won in the first round. And now he's arguing that Brazil should switch to paper ballots and, more worryingly, suggesting that if it doesn't and he loses, he won't accept the election result. So it really does seem like he's kind of laying the ground to try to cling to power, and things could get really messy in 2022.
And so why does he want paper ballots?
It's really, I mean, his claim is that Brazil has, you know, long had this quite impressive system of electronic ballots where even people far off in the Amazon are able to, you know, have the voting machines brought to them and vote, and the whole result comes in a matter of hours on election night. But Bolsonaro, you know, claims that someone could go in and hack the code and do some sort of fraud. Of course, you know, paper ballots have their own series of issues and possible manipulation. And so most people agree that, you know, Brazil's system is really quite good and can be, you know, the kind of technological security can always be improved. But it feels like his arguments are more based in kind of clinging on to something that could help him later on if he loses.
You're listening to Nightlife with Indira Naidu, and I'm speaking to Sarah Maslin, who's the Economist's Sao Paulo bureau chief, about the demonstrations and protests that we've been seeing in Brazil against the government of President Jair Bolsonaro. Sarah, one of the things that President Trump didn't have on his side when he was alleging election fraud was the support of the police and the military. But the situation in Brazil is slightly different. It's not quite the same independence from the armed forces. What is the situation there and what position are they taking?
Right. So, I mean, you have to remember that Brazil had a military dictatorship between 1964 and 1985, which really wasn't that long ago. Since then, the army has consistently pledged its commitment to democracy. And, you know, so far it has remained committed to democracy, but that has gotten a lot more complicated with Bolsonaro. He's threatening democracy left and right. He's stacked his government with generals and soldiers, and now he has these kind of threats about what he might do if he loses. It's hard to imagine the kind of top command of the armed forces backing Bolsonaro if he lost and tried to stay in office, but he has support in the rank and file and also in the military police. So if there was some sort of situation with chaotic or violent protests by Bolsonaro's supporters, it's unclear whether the security forces would step in as quickly and definitively as American police did at the Capitol.
That makes it very tricky. And I mentioned at the beginning this vaccine scandal. Tell us what this is about.
So this is another reason people in Brazil are protesting. A couple of months ago, a whistleblower from Brazil's health ministry testified to Congress about a series of irregularities in a contract for the Indian-made Covaxin vaccine. The negotiations were handled by a third-party firm that was under investigation here in Brazil for past deals involving drugs that were never delivered. The jabs, which haven't even been approved by an important health regulator, were to cost more per dose than any other vaccine. And subsequent testimony from other whistleblowers has pointed to possible corruption or attempted corruption in the procurement of other vaccines. So all of this is kind of putting Bolsonaro and his government on the defensive. And of course, they say, you know, we had no idea. Bolsonaro said, well, who am I to know what happens in my ministries? But, you know, at this point, there are cases opened in the police and you know, they may not go anywhere because Congress would have to kind of vote for Bolsonaro to be investigated or, you know, impeached. And at this point, he really still has support in Congress, but it's making that support much more expensive for Bolsonaro, you know, having to kind of do ministerial changes to satisfy certain parties that are still backing him. And, you know, most importantly, it's not looking good to the public. So that explains partly why his support has fallen.
And Sarah, speaking of vaccines and containing the virus, are many Brazilians vaccinated?
So around a quarter of Brazilians are fully vaccinated and two-thirds have taken at least one dose. But the most prevalent vaccines here are the CoronaVac and AstraZeneca. So you really do need two doses, and they're putting 3 months between the doses. So, you know, things are happening, but they're happening slowly. And scientists and doctors here have the same worries about the new Delta variant as scientists and doctors all over. It looks like cases and hospitalizations might be ticking up in the past couple of weeks. So, we're really not out of the woods yet.
Right. So the Delta strain is taking a hold there as it is here in Australia.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, the other thing that's worrying a lot of people around the world when they look at Brazil is the situation in the Amazon, the lungs of the earth, it's often described as, and it's been severely cleared under Bolsonaro's policies, hasn't it?
Yeah, there's been a real kind of growing awareness in the past couple of years of the importance of the remaining rainforests, and in particular the Amazon, in curbing climate change, right at the same time that deforestation has really gone through the roof, especially under Bolsonaro, but beforehand as well. And I think the environment is likely to return to center stage in the next few months here. We're heading into the fire season, and scientists say that Brazil is in the middle of its worst drought in more than a century, which means that the Amazon and other regions of Brazil are likely to burn very badly. And, usually when you have fires, the world suddenly remembers that Brazil, is this really important and kind of dwindling resource in storing carbon and containing climate change. So I think that's something to keep an eye on in the coming months.
And of course, Brazil and Bolsonaro had a lot of support from the Trump administration when Trump was in power, and he was able to use that to protect and safeguard him and his policies. But of course, there's a new Democrat administration now. Could President Biden be providing some difficulties for Bolsonaro?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. There was some hope early on in the Biden administration that he could do a kind of delicate diplomatic dance to work out some kind of deal whereby the US and other countries would donate money to help Brazil and other Amazon countries do a better job at curbing deforestation. And he even kind of spoke about this in one of the debates. And of course, Brazil said, sure, we'll take your money, but has been reluctant to kind of make commitments or show progress. So they're sort of stuck right now. This will probably be discussed at the UN climate talks. One problem is that Biden doesn't have a whole lot of leverage. At the end of the day, the US and Brazil are allies with an important trade relationship and defense relationship and so on, that Biden would be very reluctant to risk with, sanctions or anything like that. And also, most of Brazil's exports, or more of Brazil's exports, are going to China than the US. It really would have to be a kind of a carrot approach rather than a stick one, or one that kind of combines them. And they haven't really figured that out yet. So I'm fairly pessimistic about the environment under Bolsonaro in the next year.
And what about personally for you, Sarah? What's life been like in São Paulo?
I spent, like everyone, a month locked up at the very beginning of the pandemic. But, as a journalist, you can't do that forever. So I've been traveling. I've been, reporting and double masking and doing everything I can. But it's sort of interesting because, in some ways, the government really didn't take the pandemic seriously. And that attitude was kind of internalized by a lot of Brazilians. It feels like life is in some ways quite normal here, even while the numbers and the hospitals, ambulance sirens are on. But as a journalist, it's a fascinating country and a worrying country with a lot going on. And so it's been, it's been an important and interesting place to be.
And have you managed to get vaccinated yourself?
Yeah, I did actually. I'm American, so I went back and got a vaccine in the US a month or two ago.
Right. That's what you had to do. You actually had to leave the country.
Yeah, I think if I had stayed, it's getting close to when I would have, my age group would have, because they're going down year by year, and I'm 29, so I would have gotten my vaccine, in the next couple of weeks. But a long time has passed and lots of people are getting sick and dying, so I didn't want to take that chance.
Right. And what sort of vaccine did you get?
I got the Moderna vaccine.
Okay. Interesting. And so In terms of moving around the country, you say you've been vaccinated and you're also double masking. But as we know, the Delta variant seems to be able to be passed to and from people who have been vaccinated. So does that affect how you travel and how you do your job?
Yeah, well, I think just in the past couple of weeks, I've started to get more worried about it. I mean, I had COVID last year, but at this point, I can't. It was fine. I mean, it was a light case, but I can't count on having any antibodies left. It was, you know, more than a year ago. But the fact that that my case wasn't too intense makes me a little bit heartened. But at the end of the day, I mean, there's a lot going on in Brazil. So I feel, I feel kind of an obligation to try very hard not to spread the virus. I get tested, before I get on a plane, after I get off a plane, and then sort of, trying my best to minimize the risk. But, but personally, it's just part of the job.
Yeah. And as you said before, it is a fascinating place to be based while this pandemic is unfolding. I mean, because Brazil, not only a huge population, but demonstrating the extremes of the different positions that a number of governments are having on this virus and the pandemic.
Yeah, that's right. And people often say, and I think this is true, that Brazil is kind of like a continent. I mean, it's many countries packed into one. And so the pandemic, everyone is sort of experiencing together, but also the situation, in Manaus, where people are being brought into hospitals on river boats where they've been, for 3 days, is very different than here in Sao Paulo, which, has top class hospitals and is just as sophisticated as, any major metropolitan area. And so that kind of combination of the different realities in different parts of the country and the political intrigue involved in trying to respond to these different populations and win their support makes it kind of a constantly interesting and changing story.
Mm, definitely. Sarah, thank you so much for giving us an update of what's happening on the ground there in Brazil and, some of the flashpoints that we can watch in the next few weeks. Thank you, Sarah Maslin.
Nightlife with Indira Naidoo on ABC Radio.